Hello everyone, welcome to the Shir and Mishnayos, learning Leilui Nishmas Chaim Baruch Ben Zavel and Perel Bas Pinchas, rolling in Bava Metzia, Perek Hei, Mishnah Vav. Mishnah Vav says, "En mekamlin son barzel mi Yisrael." One cannot accept son barzel, yeah, literally that means iron sheep, from a Jew. Now what does that mean? That means an object that will remain in the domain of the original owner, that's like iron. So if I give it over, Reuven gives it over to Shimon, it will remain Reuven's. And all the achrayas will be, however, on Shimon, right? So like one would say to his friend, take these, these 100 sheep and deal with these 100 sheep 1 or 2 years, and we'll divide up the shearings and the children that they have, but all the responsibility is on you. That's why it's called sown barzel. It's sown, it's sheep, it's given over, it's iron, in that the original owner retains ownership, and all the responsibility is on the recipient. So again, you cannot receive sown barzel from another Jew. B'neishu ribis, that will be ribis, right? The person we'll see is taking all the responsibility, and the original owner is going to be gaining from lending him those animals. Av mekabel sown barzel min anochim, you could accept it from goyim. Belov mehen o malvim o some ribis, and you can even borrow from them or lend to them on interest. B'chem ger toshav, so too with a ger toshav, which refers to a goy that lives in Eretz Yisrael and agrees to not do avodah zarah. He's also the status of a goy in regards to ribis. Malva Yisrael ma'osav shanachri midas anachri. A Jew is allowed to borrow the money that belongs to a goy with the knowledge of the goy, avalo midas Yisrael, but not from the knowledge of the Yisrael. The Rav will explain what that case means. Okay, so let's see the Rav so far. And the kalim son barza. Kol achayas sanachosim al mekabel. All the responsibility for these properties will be on the recipient. Yeah, v'shem osam Visham osam alav the mos, he evaluates them with money. The kolzman shein nosin lo mos of cholkim eschar. Right, the whole time that the recipient's dealing with them and not giving back the payment, and not deciding to just buy the things off of them, they divide whatever profit comes from it. Ba'avagav the mishnah yisayrihi. This is an entirely extra mishnah. The ha tana le'el, who said earlier, ein moshim and chenvani lemechs eschar. One can't appoint a regular storekeeper for a half profit deal. Mishim the mekabel le'el paga behefsid, because that recipient store owner is accepting half of the potential loss. The koshikin hacha the kibol kolachrayas alav. All the more so over here, if the recipient is accepting that all the losses would be on him, all the responsibility, then for sure the one giving him is gaining from the work that the recipient's doing, and that's going to be the ribis issue that we had. But still, nakilei mishum seifa. Here it tells you that case, for really it's not necessary in of itself, but for the case that follows, for the second half of this case, that says avul makablin snobarz leinachim, that it is permitted from a goy. Just to teach that heter by a goy, we taught the iser first by a Jew. And in further, Mishnah said, straight out ribis is okay from a goy. That's how any bank nowadays owned by a goy works. They can loan to them with interest. And then it said, the case like this. It says, Yisrael can loan out money of a goy midas hanachi. What does that mean? Kigon. Yisrael shalov amos minachi. You have a Jew, say Reuven, borrows money from this goy. The ribis. He's going to pay interest to him. He's going to pay 10%. B'kesh l'achzir him lo, and he wants to give the money back. Yeah. Matzu Yisrael acher. Then he runs into another Jew. V'amar t'nam li. He says, give that money back to me instead of to the goy. Ani al l'cho k'derech sha'ata ma'alelo. Really, he's saying, I'm going to pay the goy, right? I'm going to pay to you, probably means speaking to the goy, right? In the way that you would pay him. So Reuven was paying 10%. Shimon says, give the money to me. I'll pay 10%. If the deal was made near the Nachir, meaning to say, Reuven takes Shimon to the goy, say, look, I'm giving over the money to him, and some of Farshim say it actually has to go back in the hand of the goy first and then go back to this other Jew. So, even though physically the Jew is giving him the money, the Rav doesn't learn that way, he learns the Jew could be giving him the money, with the commandment of the goy, with the decision of the goy, mutter. That is mutter, even though the Jew is handing over the money that will be paid for the interest, even though he's involved physically. But if it wasn't clarified with the goy that it could happen, usher. The who nihu to come motive labor, because at that point the Jew is the one that the first Jew is deciding to give over the money to the second Jew with interest associated with it. It's not the goy's decision. The Jew is deciding to employ a loan with interest. Granted, he won't be collecting that interest, but it'll still be causing a loan with interest to be given over to this other Jew. And that's the problem. Says Mishnah Zayin, Ein poskin al peiros ad sheyitzei ashar. One cannot make a deal for a certain produce until the market price has been determined. Once it has been determined, poskin, you can make a deal. Even though the one selling the produce doesn't have any, other people have. And so everything, all the prices will stay standard. You'll just have the responsibility of going next door and buying some fruit, some of this produce to give to the buyer. What if he was the first to reap? One can make a deal about the haystack, the stacked up grain. Or the container of grapes. It's this type of thing you would make the way a haystack is to grain. You stack them all together. So too, this is the type of receptacle or type of arrangement you make out of grapes when you harvest them. And so too, the maton, which means, again, some sort of receptacle after you harvest olives, right? You can make a deal about that, this receptacle of olives. And eggs. We'll see what this really means. And eggs of a craftsman that really probably refers to clay from which they make their crafts. Valasid mishishako, and on limestone once it has sunken in, bekibshan in a kiln, in a furnace. We'll see what all this means in the Rav. What's going on? Posik imo ala zevel koyimos hashan. One can make a deal for manure all year. Rabbi Yossi omer in poskin ala zevel. You don't make a deal about manure. El imken haylo zevel ba'ashpan, unless the one making deal had manure available. Even without that. And one can make a deal for a higher market price. Even if one did not make explicitly such a deal for the high price. One can always say, tenli kazeh or tenli mosa. Either give me that higher price or give me my money back. What does this all mean? Says the Rav. Yeah. Is what we said. You can only make a deal once the market price has been set. Once it has been set, you can make the deal. And even though the one making the deal doesn't have, someone else is going to have. So you can go buy them and pass them on to the buyer. So it's no problem. Then the Mishnah said, if he was the first of the reapers, he already has stacked up grain, all ready to be sold, but still the market price hasn't gone out. He can make a deal with him, and whatever price he wants. They came to Yeshlo and Khan Ribbis. Being that he already has the items, there's no ribbis. The person is not being loaned any money. The item is being sown. It is being sold. And he can decide that we're going to make a deal, even though there is a market price. We are making a deal right now between me and you on a certain price. He's going to buy that haystack right now. It won't matter if afterwards the price should fluctuate. There'll be no question about him getting a better or worse deal because the price hasn't been set yet. He's just going to get whatever deal they make up. Even though he didn't pull the item to gain ownership, being that even when he didn't have the haystack, let's say, didn't have the stacked up grain, is what I mean to say. So even there, it would only be an isra to do that midrabanan. So when he actually has it, they didn't make a gezeira. They didn't make a gezeira to say that even if you have the stuff, but if the market price hasn't gone out, you shouldn't do it because maybe it will lead to ribbis, right? There's no such gazer. Okay, and you can make a similar ala avit. That's a kli gadol shet sovrim bo'os an oven. That's a large vessel in which they harvest grapes with nejricha before crushing them. Behem is chamim lehotzi yein yafe. Bringing them together will make the grapes warm, make them heat up, and the wine will come out nicer. Shalzeisim kori matan. And that type of vessel for olives is called a matan. And al beitzim shel yotzer. What's that mean? Im hichnis afar v'asol beitzim. That means you bring dirt together and you make what's called eggs, lasusem kideiros, in order to make pots from them. So obviously, clay, mud. Posik imo ala kideiros. You can make a deal for the pots, be'ezashar shir, it's in whatever price you want. If a'avu pi shel yotzer shar, even though there hasn't been an established market price for clay pots. Balas seed and limestone. Posik imo be'ezashar shir, it's you can make a deal for whatever price you want. Mishi yishka enu b'kevshon, once they have been sunken into, probably hardened, in a kiln or furnace, ha'etzim. Oh, I should say, once the wood and the avanim and the stone are all set up, I guess it sounds like, in the kiln, lishof philosophers man sin, in order to make the limestone out of them, that's already, it's considered he has the item already, and you can make a deal on that item and not worry about how it'll be affected by fluctuating market prices. Chacham matir, this is going on a little later. This is going on, Mishnah said, you can make a deal on zevel kol yimos hashana. So, seemingly the explanation for that part, that you can make a deal on manure all the times of the year, means that even in the winter, even though nobody is going to have that now, right, or you use it during the planting time, still you can it's always going to be around soon enough, right? But it means to add the winter. We'll see that in the Rav. Yeah, it says, Netzach Chachamim Matir. There are really three sheetahs here. If you look at the Mishnah, the first sheetah was Tanakama. You make a deal on Zevel the whole year. Rabbi Yossi says you can only do it if he has Zevel in his garbage dump. And Chachamim say they Matir. So what is this? Chachamim Matir. Ikabein Chachamim Tanakama. There is a difference, however, between the Tanakama and Chachamim over here. Tanakama, Koyim Osir Shanakama. What were the words of the Tanakama? He said all year. Rabbi Yossi came and argues, Lamar Loshna. It doesn't matter what time of year it is, yeah, the seller has to have manure in order to sell. He can't make a deal if he doesn't have it, even if it's around. If it's, next door, he could buy it. But only in the summer. Even if he doesn't have yishlachem, during the summer it's around. It's common. He'll go get it from somewhere else. At that point in the calendar, yeah, things have already rotten. The nisho of Yimosa Gashamim, things have been trampled and rotten during the winter. That's what created what they would use for manure back then. It wasn't what we think of fertilizer being the waste of the cow. I mean, fertilizer could be made from fruits that have been trampled on and are affected by the rain. Now, the Yimosa Gashamim lo. Yeah. However, during the winter, the Chacham say they agree that Rabbi Yossi, they agree to him that you cannot. Why couldn't you do it in the winter? Because it's not so calm, not around. Therefore, if he makes a deal, it's going to be affected by whatever market price happens that he can't access right now because it's not viable right now. Then the Mishnah said that a person can make a deal based on the Shar HaGevoah. What's that? Im yifchos ha-shar imashu ha-shav. If the price should go down, titen li gishar ha-zul. I want the cheaper price. That's the person can say. Right now, the market price is at whatever it is, $10 for a kilo of fruits. Yeah, if it goes down to 9, that's what I want to pay. Gavoa then, high, really means high. Haino bezul, it really means the cheaper price. Shenosin peres gavoim, that means the high part of it means that you give lots of fruits. Berabim b'demavtim, you give many good fruits for a small amount of money. So it sounds kind of euphemistic, but seemingly the high of high price means the price that is paid for a better price for a higher amount of produce. Okay, now that is what Chachamim say. Rabbi Yehuda adds, yeah, even if you never made that deal, the buyer can always say, either give me that deal or give my money back. Tenli kizeo, tenli mosai, shahare lamashach. And at this point, you didn't grab the fruits. The deal wasn't halachically affected. And go back on it. It's not even the curse that we had of mishapara, that Hashem will take retribution for such a person who doesn't hold up his word. There is no such curse. Because he never really gave his money to get anything now. He gave it to get something later. Right, when the market price would be established. And then in the meantime, a different market price came out. It came out cheaper. So stam daiti de inish sera zila posik, right? A stam das of a person is going by the cheaper market price. Bein alachik Rabbi Yehuda, alachik is not like Rabbi Yehuda, however, it is like a chamim, that a person can make a deal early on from the get-go and say, even though this is the price now, if it comes out cheaper, I want the cheaper price. Says Mishnah Ches, Malva Adam Esarisa V'chitin V'chitin Lezera Avalo Le'echol. A person could loan his sharecropper, let's say I own a field, and as a person working for me for a certain percentage of the crops that he will keep, that's called a sharecropper, that's an Aris. So I could loan to him a certain amount of wheat and get back that amount of wheat. Even the same amount is potentially an issue, but here it won't be an issue. Lezera, if it's being given to plant the field. Avalo le'echol, but not to eat. Shairam Gamliel, malve sarisav chitim b'chitim zera. Ram Gamliel would do justice. V'yoker v'huzlu, ozol v'hukru, notu mehen kesharazol. Now, we'll see what this is going on. This is halacha where Ram Gamliel did. Yeah, it seems like Ram Gamliel did over here that if he gave the situation where it was a higher market price and then it got cheaper, or the cheaper one and it got more expensive, he would always take like this cheaper amount, seemingly because he would. We'll see what the elaboration on is in the Rav, but he would take the worst deal on his end. Not because that was the halacha, he wanted to be machmir on himself. So what's going on? What does that have to do with what we were talking about? So it says the Rav Malva Adam. I own the field. I lend to the sharecropper. He generally would provide his own seed to plant. In this case, I'm gonna lend him some seed, right? But we're agreeing that he's gonna give me back exactly that amount. But halvos la'aris, you lend that to aris dafka kasherot zaro. Only if the idea is he's going to plant the seed. The tamo why? Generally, the sharecropper is the one who's supposed to give the seed. Now, the sharecropper obviously wants seed, wants to be able to plant. He takes a percentage deal from this field. He wants it to grow well. So the sharecropper has no seeds to plant. We zero asada to plant the field. The balabayas can say to him, hey, you don't have seeds, so deal's off. You're supposed to bring the seeds. You're supposed to be responsible for that. Right? Now the sharecropper now borrows from the balabayas instead. Mi balabayas, the zareya, and then plant. Right? When the wheat will go up, he's going to pay back in wheat. He's getting wheat to plant. He's going to pay back wheat. Ain zu alva. Right? This is not considered a loan, really, that is that therefore be relevant to ribbis. It's really as if right now the field is being gone into, meaning to say that the sharecropper is only keeping his job. He's only going down and working the field on condition that Balabayas will take the first pick, so to speak, the first produce of seed that comes out from that amount that the aris would normally get. And the rest, the aris is really taking as the schar from bothering to work the field. It's like an understood deal that generally an aris provides the seed and whatever grows, he has the deal made out of what a percentage he'll keep. It's understood over here being that the babai is providing the seed that will come out of the aris's portion. Yeah, and it's not considered a loan, it's just that a slightly different deal has been made than the average aris. It's not a loan aside from the deal has been made. The ain kan ribis, therefore is no ribis here. Shayram Gamliel, Kolomar, what is this part of the Mishnah? We have to teach this Mishnah. We have to teach this halacha that it's mutter. Bisharam Gamliel Machmir. Rabbi Gamliel himself was Machmir himself. Shayim Huzul Notel Tisharazul. Yeah, that if wheat went down in the interim, he would only take back from his sharecropper like the cheaper amount, yeah, and he would take the loss. Not like that. Just he wanted to be machmir on himself, right? So again, the two parts of that were that if he lent the items to a sharecropper at an expensive rate, and then they got cheaper, or cheaper and made more expensive, he would always take the cheaper rate. So that would be that. Now, whatever he lent out to him, if the wheat went up in price, so he would go by the original price. If it went down in price, he would go by the new price. Right. Thank you for listening. Mr. Chilman, continue.